10 years is how long that I have been preaching up here. It was in 2008 of December that Bob left to go to, I guess it was Botetourt Church at that time, to help them out because they were in need. So it had been 10 years. I don't remember doing, and I went back and looked. I didn't have any reference to the 2008 Christmas message. So I don't really remember, but I've got from like 10 on forward. And, you know, the kids were going to do some things, and so I really didn't have a lot prepared. I was just going to say something really small up here. But I started thinking about some things, and I was narrowing down Scripture, and I run across something that I'd never seen before. And so I can assure you that this probably is the most unusual Christmas message that you will hear, but it is very true. And I'd never really seen this before. Luke 2:13-14, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." I can't imagine this scene, you know. I can't imagine stuff that we read in Scripture, some of it actually taking place. When Moses parted the Red Sea, I can't really imagine seeing something like that, do you know? And not just those things that Scripture tells us, but could you imagine watching the Titanic sink? There are things in life when we see them that it's just hard to believe that they actually happened. But this actually happened. I mean, can you imagine going home and you're getting ready to mow your yard and you're walking out into the field and you see a company of angels beginning to sing about the Christ? That's what these people did. Of course, they weren't mowing. They were going out into the fields with their sheep. They saw this company of angels come and start to sing and to praise God. That had to have been a wonderful sight. Don't you agree? Can you imagine the joy that these wise men felt? I mean, we just sung the song, "Mary, Did You Know?" I mean, the wise men felt when they saw that star in the east and they followed that star. And I'm sure there was probably some doubt in their mind. I mean... when we go by faith, sometimes we wonder and we feel a little foolish, right? If things don't work out the way we thought they were going to. So I'm sure that these wise men realized that they might have been able to make a mistake, but they didn't feel like that they did. And yet when they came and they looked and they saw the baby Jesus, looked upon the face of the one that would grow to save their souls. I mean, can you imagine actually doing that? Actually seeing what was going on at that time? We just read about it and we kind of move on. But this actually took place. I can see there would have been a great celebration that what they had waited on was right in front of their eyes. So to say that we shouldn't celebrate Christmas, or we shouldn't celebrate the birth of Christ, that's not true. The angels sang and glorified God. It is right to praise God and to celebrate the birth of His Son. And these people actually saw these things. Because there's a lot of things that happen that we really don't see. And it's sort of like that with Scripture. You know, you read a little bit, and you read over here, and then all of a sudden, something comes together for you. And you're like, wait a minute. And so you go back and you flip through the pages and you look back and you read and you put those two verses together and God shows you something. And you're like, wow, I never really saw that. So this time when we saw Bailey up here and we saw the kids giving the gifts, we go home, we see all the pretty lights and we see all of the wonderful things that go on this time of year, and we see the seasons change and it's nice and cool and the snow comes and the kids go out and play in the snow and they do snow angels, they build snowmen and they have snowball fights and everybody's just having a good time. And then we gather around Christmas Eve or Christmas Day and we read the story that Bailey just read, you know, to tell our friends and family about Christ, to let them know that there is truly a God. There's something that we don't see that happened at his birth. This next passage isn't usually part of the Christmas story, but I think you'll see that it was. Revelation 12, 3 through 4, and another sign appeared in heaven. Behold, a great and fiery red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and 7 diadems on his heads. And his tail drew a third of the stars of heaven and threw them to the earth. And this is the verse I wanted us to see. And the dragon stood before the woman who was ready to give birth to devour her child as soon as it was born. Mary didn't say anything about that, did she? We don't read where Joseph was on guard for the devil, do we? Yet we read in Revelation that as that child was being born, there was this great fiery red dragon. And he stood there and he waited for that child to be born so that he could devour that child. See, with all the pretty lights and all the wonderful things that are going on this time of year, don't forget that the devil is waiting and he's watching. And he's looking for the merriment to get too merry. He's looking for all of it to get out of hand. And all he wants to do is take the emphasis off of the walk that you have committed to Christ that you're going to walk. And he uses all things to distract us, all things to deceive us. Because when we read the story about the child that was born in the manger, and once the child was born, they wrapped it in swaddling clothes and they laid it in a manger. And all these people came, all these wise men came, and all these shepherds came, and they looked upon the child. And we sing songs that, did you know that you're kissing the face of God and that you're holding the great I Am? Nobody mentions that red dragon that was waiting for that child to be born so that he could devour that child. It wasn't long after the child was born that God came to Joseph in a dream, and he told him, he said, take that child to Egypt. Get him out of here. Because there are those that want to kill him. You see, Scripture has given us a multitude of warnings and has told us all these things. Yet we watch people live as though baptism, faithfulness, and forgiveness of each other, it doesn't mean anything. You see, those people see only what they want to see. You see, this picture here is that with all the joy and the merriment and all the wonderful things that were happening, that there was evil waiting to tear that to shreds. If you find happiness in your life, the devil wants to dismantle it piece by piece. But Christ that died for us rose again to give us back that peace. Why do you think there was a multitude of angels there? They sang. But if there was a dragon there, it seems like that those angels might have had something else that they were doing. People would say you're crazy if you would think that there were angels and demons sitting around you. But there is. God made you a promise. Just as he took care of that child, he will look at you in the same way. He will take care of you. I give you warning. That child in the manger, that child grew up to be rejected by his people. He was tortured by the government. And he was crucified to the joy of the world. God protected that child. God said that he will protect you. But when the Christ, Jesus, laid down his life, and he laid in that tomb for 3 days, and he was completely at the mercy of the Father, and the devil had taken his life from him, because the devil was behind all of these people that wanted him dead, and he finally got him in a place where he was, and he took his life. And when the son was laying in the ground, the body and the soul was in Hades, the father stood up. He sent the Holy Spirit to raise him from the dead. And that dragon may have waited to take everything from you. But whatever he took, God said, I gave it back tenfold. Because when Jesus rose from the dead, he didn't just rise to walk back among us. He rose to the glory of the heavens, seated at the right hand of power. And he is alive forevermore. And all of that started with one man and one woman having a child and wondering how they were going to make it all work when their child was being born and laid in straw in a cave. Yet you see, in God's wisdom, all of these things that happened to Christ was not for his shame, but for his glory. For we stand here today rejoicing in the death that happened, in the way that it happened, and that is for our salvation. And so when you look at that picture and you think, oh my gosh, that child to grow up, in the beginning he said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And in the end, when we stand here after all that has transpired and this death has happened and he's raised from the grave, we can stand here again and say, glory to God in the highest, peace on earth, and goodwill towards men. That child was born. He was born unlike us, being that he was born from a virgin and he was born in a stable. There's a lot of children that are born, and they're born in some weird places. And not all of them have normalness that they grow up with. But thank God for those that are in your life, they are growing up with God, and they are given a chance. So as we remember the birth of Christ this year, at this time of year, when we give our gifts and we laugh, be aware that there's someone that's not laughing. He's watching you. But that child died to give you the strength so that you could see. We didn't get to see the baby in the manger. We didn't get to see the angels singing about the birth of that child. Other people did. But those other people didn't see that fiery red dragon. And God has shown us that picture. So whether if it was there or whether if it's here, all those things, if we look, God will show us. I hope you all have a very Merry Christmas with your family and with your friends. It is right celebrate the birth of our Savior. It is right to give Him a moment of our time to worship Him. And even though this world hates this time of year and they want to remove the thought of Merry Christmas and they want to remove the idea of Christ in the picture, they can't take Him out of Scripture. And they can't take Him out of your home. They can't take Him out of your life. You have to do that. Thank y'all for being here. This child, I can't imagine this child growing up and the things, all these questions arise. How did he know? How did he know? The Bible says, the Scripture tells us, he began to read. And when he was older, he stood in the synagogues and he read this. He read a parable and he closed it. He read a prophecy and he closed it. He said, this prophecy is fulfilled in your hearing today. You see, he understood and he began to see that the words that were written about him. The things surrounding his birth, the things surrounding the death that he would die. And as they look back in the Old Testament scriptures, it was hard to see. And Jesus, on the day that he ascended into heaven, the Bible says that when he walked with the apostles, he opened their minds to the scriptures. And they began to see what he saw. So see, when we look back and we see the pictures that we've gone over, the birth, the dragon, all of these things, God is showing us, of all people, we're the most blessed because we see all of those pictures. And by faith, we can see that child being born. And by faith, we can understand the struggles that they went through. But God gave us these things in Scripture. And as we read and as we study and we began to see the picture that He wants us to see, it shows us that there was no other way for that child to be born, and there certainly was no other way for that child to die. And the path that you have chosen to walk on, it is right. It is right that we struggle and that we suffer for the Christ. It is right that we're given a chance to glorify our Savior. When Jesus rose from the dead, it was by the power of the Holy Spirit that raised him from the dead. God made him a promise and told him, he said, and Peter relays this in the first gospel sermon, he said, that I will not let your body see corruption, nor allow your soul to remain in Hades. And he goes on to tell us that we had a part to play in his death. And those people that saw that, those people that really understood what he was talking about, that we had a part to play in his death, he said, they came to a place and they said, well, what can we do? He told them to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sin. And he will give you the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome. The Holy Spirit would take up residence in your life, and everything about your life would be different. And then as you began to read these words, you would begin to see the pictures that God has laid out for all of us. I don't need to be at the birth, as it recounts in Luke chapter 2. I don't need to be there to see it by faith. What a wonderful thing. So what's your decision? As we're not going to stand. We're going to listen to the, told you I'd get thrown off. We're going to listen to the Nativity Story by Amy Grant.